Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, he will also be presenting our words of encouragement. So I kindly ask you to stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. Do appreciate you being on our program for today. I want to thank all of those who continue to support the program financially. We want you to know that we're so grateful for that. We probably have a couple of new viewers on this morning, hopefully. I'll find out a little bit later on from West Virginia and maybe from Kentucky. I know we have some from Kentucky, but some new ones from Kentucky. And this morning, Kentucky that's my hometown. It just flat snowed in today, about 8 to 10 inches or so of snow. And ice is already in that particular city. And also, where my sister lives in Illinois, just across, it's just 2 miles apart. And they are just flat locked in with snow. So we hope that you are safe this morning, even though that you may be blocked in with snow and ice. I'm hoping that you're still safe doing this morning, and try not to get out if you can. As a matter of fact, I just want you to know that if you need anything, if you need something from the store or some of that sort, don't call me. It's too cold. I ain't coming out for nothing and for nobody. So hold on to that to spring. I'll see you by spring. Well, we're just glad to have you on our program today. And I want to finish up a thought that I had with this being Black History Month. And, of course, this is February the 17th. And, Lord have mercy, is this month just scooting right on by before you know it would be daylight savings time upon us. And we was talking about Black history, and we was talking about Marshall Keyboard, and I wanted to finish up a couple of thoughts on that, because he was almost like the Apostle Paul. He was nothing, but he wasn't about anything but the Word of God. When you mention him, you almost have to mention the Bible, is because that's what his emphasis was, the Word of God. So a couple of his sermons, then I'm going to give you another thought on this Word of God. A couple of his sermons is The Doctor Who Never Lost a Case. A great sermon, and I would encourage you to get those CDs. They are still available. You can still buy CDs by Marsha Keeble. They're still available. The Doctor Who Never Lost a Case, The Great Physician, The Power of the Written Word, and that's what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. A Water in the Plan. Look how simple these subjects are. Been to Worship But Wrong, because we know we're talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. We're talking about as he was on his way from worship. And then 5 steps to the church and 7 steps to heaven. And then nothing is too hard for the Lord. Who will be able to stand? All men one in Christ Jesus. He was all about the Word of God. That was one of his main focus. I mentioned briefly, too, in his preaching, he saved over 40,000 people and established several congregations. And I had mentioned a couple before. He established a congregation in Henderson, Tennessee, where he baptized 69 in a gospel meeting. He established the church in Tampa, Florida in 1927, where he baptized 99. He established the church in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and where in 1929, where he baptized 92. He established a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, where he baptized 86. These numbers are unheard of today. Most of the time we go through gospel meetings, we don't baptize nobody. In Lakeland, Florida, baptized 65. In Jackson, Tennessee, baptized 58. Came to Valdosta, Georgia, the first time, and he baptized 163 people. And then he came to Atlanta, baptized 166. Then he went back to Valdosta for another meeting where he baptized 166. Numbers unheard of today. But he was all about the word of God. That was his main objective. When we think about that, and you think about talking to people today about the word of God, I would suggest to you that some of the passages of scriptures that would let us know about the word of God. One would be in James chapter 1 and verse 21. He said, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluousness of nonness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul." Many people today are deceived by false doctrine, the claims that they be saying. And many people, when you tell them what the Bible teaches, they respond sometimes by saying that I would not give up what I feel for all the Bibles in the world. And of course, we know that the Word of God is not a feeling. Basically, it's not an emotional kind of a thing like that. Even though on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that they were pricked in their heart, but that was when they heard the truth. When they heard the word of God. But most people just go on, this is just what I feel in my heart. But according to James 1 and verse 21, he said, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluousness, and nonness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul." In Ezekiel 2 and verse number 7, he says, And thus say that thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they shall hear or whether they shall forbear. They are a most rebellious people. And then in Psalm 119, verse number 11, David said, "Thy word hast thou hid in my heart, that I should not sin against thee." And in Jeremiah 23, verse number 28, and God said, "Let him speak my word. Let him speak my word faithfully." That's what this whole thing is all about. Now, when we talk about the word of God, when we talk about the word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 19, listen to what they say, what Paul says about the word of God. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this world? Hath not God made the foolish of the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." What is he saying? He said it is we don't know anything about heaven or hell. We wouldn't know anything about God. We wouldn't know anything about Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know about his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. We would not know about God's will for man, except it be for the written word. We wouldn't know. If you want to know what's on God's mind, what is he thinking about a particular situation, about a particular issue, open your Bibles. Read your Bibles every once in a while and dust that thing off. Now, we know that we're not supposed to add or subtract from God's holy and divine word. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't write in your Bible, like write a note or write some kind of a thought or something like that to help you remember what's going on along that. I know a lot of people used to, in the olden days, they say, "You can't write in that Bible, baby." That's not what God's talking about when he's talking about adding to the word. Those are just sort of footnotes to help you with your study. But what he's saying is, and he gives us three warnings. One is in Proverbs 30. Verses 5-6, Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2, and Revelation 22 and verse number 18. He gives us these warnings throughout the. Notice how they're located in the Bible: at the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and then at the ending of the Bible. In Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Every word of God is pure. Add not unto his word, lest he reprove himself." And then in Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2, he said, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." And then he says in Revelation 22, and verse number 18, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophet in this book." In Genesis chapter 2, and verse number 17, the fall of man. Now here's what you call it. Here's what you call adding to the word. Adding to the word, he said. But of the tree of good and knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you shall eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Here's the addition, in Genesis 3 and verse number 1-4, and the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Not only was it an addition, but it was just a flat out lie. "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You know, I had a revelation just the other day. I don't want anybody to be texting me and calling me and carrying on talking about you ain't had no revelation. But the devil, you know this old saying that people used to have, "The devil made me do it." Have you ever heard anything about that? I discovered that the devil has never made nobody do anything. It's only the power of suggestion. He didn't make them eat the fruit in the garden. He just made some suggestions as to what was going on with it. I got to thinking about that thing just the other day, and I said, throughout the Bible, where you see the devil functioning, he either got a necessary inference on something, or he has got the power of a suggestion about something. Then he leaves it up to you to make that foolish decision. He leaves it up to you to be a knucklehead and just and follow through with it. But he sort of sows the seed. He sort of drops a hint along the way. And I said, he's pretty good at that too. Because some of the things that he says and some of the things that he do, he never told you to rob a bank. He just sort of let you know where the guards are and what time they go to lunch and when they come back and all that kind of stuff. But see, here's one thing that the devil has never told you. He has never told you that you were going to get caught. Think about it. Think about all of the trouble that you've been in on this call. Think about all the situations that you found yourself in. You got in there because the devil had this necessary inference, and he just sort of sowed a seed. But when you think about it, did you get caught? And if you got caught, did the devil tell you how to get out of it? No. So that's what we got to be concerned about. So the devil is pretty. The Joker is slick, I'm telling you. And so he ain't going to never tell you to do nothing, but he's sure going to offer up some suggestions along the way. And so when we're talking about the Word of God, the Word of God without addition can save your soul. The Word of God with addition condemns your soul. The Word of God only makes Christians only. It ain't this kind of Christian, that kind of Christian, another kind of Christian. It just makes only one kind, and that's just a Christian. In Psalm 33, verse 4, he said, "The word of the Lord is right." In Psalm 19, verse number 8, he said, "The statutes of the Lord are right." And then in Matthew 4, verse number 4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, he said, "That you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is above that. Listen to what it says, above that which is written. Oh, it's in the Word of God now. And then in 2 John 9, he said, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Not only was Marcia Keeble all about the Word of God, but we but we are the same. We're about the Word of God as well. And then of course, you know how slick the devil is. The devil's so slick. In Luke 8:11, he said, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Then cometh the devil and take it out of your heart, lest you shall believe and be saved. Folk, he already know the rule book. That's why he's so good at it. That's why he traps us so much, is because he's already read the rule book. And not only that, he's already written the rule book on the things that he wants us to do. So when you think about it, he when you're going to start blaming the devil for some stuff? You know, there are a lot of things that go on in your life. And I hear people all the time say, well, you know, the Lord, why would the Lord do this? And why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord take my grandma? Why would the Lord do that? When are you going to start blaming the devil for stuff? He what he do, he throws a rock and then hide his hand. That's why you can't catch him. He throws a suggestion. He throws a thought. He throws a seed out there, and then he hides his hand, and then we fall right into that trap. In 2 John 9, that's what he says, whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And in Psalm 119, verse 41, he said, let the mercy come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So what are we saying? What are we saying? We're saying the same thing that Jude said. Jude ain't got one little chapter in it, but it's verse number 24 and verse number 25, when he says, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. He says, amen. Father, thank you for what you've done for us in the past and what you're doing for us now, what you have planned for us for the future, if we just get out of the way and let you do what you do. Continue to bless those who are in the hospital, hospice. Continue to bless the Hamilton family in Paducah, Kentucky. Francis Hamilton passed away this past week, and we want to continue to bless that family as they are trying to pull that thing together. The funeral was supposed to be Friday, but because of the snow and because of the ice and some of the people who have to come from Texas and different places have been postponed until next Tuesday. And so continue to bless that wonderful, that beautiful family, Francis Hamilton, passed away in Paducah, Kentucky. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and have a super-duper day.